Welcome back to Trends in Low Places, a comedic exploration of the dumbest stories of the day. I am one of your hosts, Mike Cushing.
And I am the Waldorf to his Statler, Michael Howard.
I forgot a line from that they said, but I know we're two old men. We sit in a balcony.
Yep, that's about right.
Too late to save the podcast.
Yeah, well, they basically sit in the balcony and make fun of everyone on the stage.
Yeah, I made a Statler and Waldorf joke about me and my ex-girlfriend's dog on a balcony when we went on vacation one time in a Facebook caption, and literally no one got it. And to date, I think it was the two biggest assholes on a balcony since Statler and Waldorf, and no one got it. To this day, though, I think our friend Alex got it. But to this day, I think my finest work on a caption.
That's a pretty good caption.
Yeah, no big deal. Michael, how you doing, bud?
Doing pretty good, bud.
It's been 2 days since I saw your face.
Yeah.
Your sweet, handsome face.
We had an excellent weekend. We didn't leave the house a whole lot, but we did go to the Chris Kindle Mart.
Mm-hmm.
And then we bought strudels and cheese, and we forgot to eat both the strudels and the cheese.
You know, when you say it out loud like that, it sounds like a really nice romantic weekend in. And not too far off the case.
Yeah. I mean, we just didn't have time to eat the cheese and the strudels because we were too busy just doing it.
Sensual lovemaking. Yeah.
I was talking about video games, but yeah.
That's me too. Yeah. You know how I play games.
That is true. It was very weird watching you play Red Dead Redemption.
Mm-hmm. Well, Michael, I have a couple things that happened to me today. One just completely blew my mind. The other, more recently, kind of gave me a headache. Michael, you know I'm a basic bitch. So I bought Mumford & Sons tickets for when they're touring in March here in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And I bought 4 tickets. And would you care to guess?
When are the Sons just going to, like, grow up and get a job?
Yeah. Hey, guys.
They've been living in the house for so long.
You know this millennial generation, Michael. They're tied to their hips, the parents' hips. That's just how it is. That's mm-hmm. fine. You don't know the pressures they live under, bud. Okay, so back the fuck off. Would you care to guess the promotion they did with every ticket purchase?
You get to be a son. You're an honorary son of Mumford.
You're an adopted Mumford son.
Mm-hmm.
No, that would arguably be better. Because, you know, kind of like when you go to like the Lagavulin distillery and they give you like an inch by inch square of land.
Yes.
That would be better. That's like being named an honorary Mumford son.
Mm-hmm.
No, Michael, every ticket I purchased entitles me to 1 CD of Mumford & Sons' new album that they will mail to me at no extra cost. In the year of our Lord, at this point, 2019, they are going to mail me 4 physical compact discs.
Wait, they're going to 4 of them?
Because I get 1 per ticket, my friend.
Oh, you get 1 per ticket, not even 1 per order.
Yeah. So I will get
4. Have 4 compact discs in jewel cases, I assume.
Full of the banal alt folk music of Britain's favored sons. So I have a new coaster set, is what I'm saying.
I mean, that's a pretty good coaster set. Like, do the CDs at least come with, like, a website you go to download the music?
Do they come with a download code like every vinyl album? No, I don't think they do. I think they come with a CD that I have to insert into, I don't know, a computer that does... Like, when was the last computer made that contained a CD drive? 1994,
probably,
I think.
Before Mumford & Sons was even a thing. It was just Mumford at that point.
Yeah. He hadn't procreated yet.
Yeah.
It happened 4 hours ago.
I
got
a single father, really, though. I mean, think about it.
Especially with 4 just handsome boys getting mm-hmm. into all kinds of folksy
banjo trouble.
Banjo troubles.
It's the worst kind of troubles.
Mm-hmm. Get a fiddle up in there sometimes? I don't know. I did see them play as a backing band for John Fogerty one time, though, and that was pretty fucking cool because that guy knows how to rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
Michael, it's time for me to tell you about the second thing that happened to me that really broke my brain, and I didn't like it.
Okay. It broke your brain more than a band sending you CDs.
In the year of our Lord 2018, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Michael, I really hope you're ready for this, because I'm about to just fucking rock your brain right off your dick.
Ooh, hold on. Let me take a drink real quick.
So, Michael, you ride the train or the bus every once in a while, right, in Chicago?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What's every day. What's the weirdest thing you've seen someone doing on their phone?
On their phone?
Yeah.
There's this guy who's on the train, and he, I've seen him multiple times because I always get on the same car, and he's always playing this crazy, like, almost DDR slash like amplitude type game where you have to hit the notes, and there's, but he's doing it at a speed that I can't even fathom or comprehend.
Okay, so that's train. That's just impressive.
Like, I mean, it's impressive, but it's also weird that he's doing it on the train.
That's fair. Hard to play a rhythm game when you're being bounced around. Yeah, okay, I get that. Well, Michael, today there was a little blood drive at work. So I was like, you know what? I'll go down. I had a kind of a meeting-free day for the first time in, I don't know, 7 months. So I went downstairs, signed up, didn't actually get to give blood because it took 55 minutes out of my hour-long break. So couldn't actually do it. But
that's,
I was
good. That means there's high demand. Or, I mean, yeah. I guess not demand.
Low phlebotomist supply, actually, I think was the problem. They had 7 tables set up, but 3 phlebotomists who apparently could only do one person at a time, even though it takes 2 minutes to set someone up, 10 minutes to give blood. So, yeah, anyway.
It's like when you're bathing a child. You can't really turn your head for like 3 seconds. Oh,
who knows what?
You will drown in blood.
I'll roll right off that table and who knows what kind of shenanigans I'll get up to.
Phlebotomist is like one of the best jobs, but only because it's fun to say phlebotomy or phlebotomist.
Mm-hmm. That's the only reason, though.
Yes.
Because you do have to ask people all those questions up front, which seems like a real chore the entire time.
You have to talk to people constantly.
No, thank you, sir. So, Michael, I was sitting with a row of chairs, about 7 people in a row, kind of slowly moving down the chair line, inching ever closer to that sweet goal of giving your life's blood.
I hate waiting in line so much. I can't even imagine waiting in line to have someone steal my body fluids by sticking a needle in me.
Yeah, Michael, but you do it for 10 minutes. You wait in that line for God knows way too long, and you save 5 lives, buddy. You save 5 lives.
I would have just found another blood bank that, like, has the proper number of phlebotomists.
This one was at my work, though, which made it a lot.
Yeah, but in 55 minutes, I feel like you could have gotten a lot of places in
Atlanta. I was just about to say it made it a lot easier, but that's a lie.
You could have literally gone to the biggest hospital in Atlanta and been like, and just take some blood from
here,
me.
Have my blood. I brought a bag, so here you go. Yeah, now that I look back, I probably should have. Anyway, so we're in line, we're moving, inching ever closer, and I'm on my phone, I'm answering emails and stuff, and then I get a little bored, put my phone down, and just kind of like, they were playing Goonies, because it was in the auditorium we have at work, so they were nice and had the Goonies playing, so I was like, oh, Goonies.
Smart.
And then I happened to just glance over at the woman next to me, as you're doing, you know, I don't try to pry, but there was flashing on her screen, so it caught my eye, and at first, I glanced down to my left, and I saw 4 people just kind of running down a hallway. And they're all kind of in synchronicity. They were kind of running together. And my eyes flashed back to Goonies. Then I came back down.
Like a music video or something. Or just a random video.
It looked like an action movie, which it seemed like a big squad for an action movie. And, you know, why would you watch it on your phone? But whatever, I'm not going to.
I have seen multiple people watching Marvel movies on their phones on the way to work. Okay. I assume it's like the second or third time they've seen it, you know, just for funsies.
I mean, for me, I've watched Thor Ragnarok approximately 21 times in the last 6 months. So, like, I would watch that just as, like, a comfort food. So, Michael, it keeps drawing my eye because, you know, there's a lot going on in the film. In the glimpses I'm getting, the people seem, like, oddly thin. Like, they're just, like, kind of smushed. And it's like, what's happening here? Like, what's up with the aspect ratio here? And like it kept flashing around, so I was like, okay, I'm not gonna watch this lady's phone. Michael, it took me about 10 minutes to realize that there were not 4 characters on the screen. There were 2 duplicated, because this woman was watching a movie on her phone in VR mode, just with her own God-given eyeballs.
Okay, so either she is,
try to think through this, because
real dumb, or
mm-hmm,
she has a superpower where she can see VR with her own 2 eyeballs,
but only on a phone in VR mode. That's her superpower. It has to be in VR mode.
Look, not everyone has good superpowers.
Yeah, when we talked about this, this is among the worst mutations I can imagine.
Maybe she can only watch
Michael
things
in
VR.
You did forget a vital third option, that this woman is dangerously insane. Like, it. Once I realized this, I stared at her phone for a solid 35 seconds. I was just like, mouth agape, just trying to absorb it and trying to see, like, VR mode works when you're looking through four lenses mm-hmm. at a distance of less than 2 inches. When it's just on your smartphone screen, 18 inches away from your dome piece, it just looks like a smush movie twice.
She was just watching it like she was able to pay attention to it.
Just watching and loving it, by the way. Can I say loving it enough to not watch?
How old was this woman?
35, 40 tops.
So like
old enough to know better.
Old enough to know better, young enough not to be too stupid
to not know better.
Right. Okay. I thought you were going to say that like her phone was broken. And so it was like.
She was just watching a blank screen and laughing the whole time. Like, what a good joke.
No, that it was moving around, but that it was broken. So you were like, you couldn't actually tell what was going on.
I don't know what to do with that. It, like, seeing someone just breaking the fundamental laws of physics with their own two eyes, just, and loving it.
That's bonkers. Like,
I've never seen more pure proof of, like, alien reptiles living in human suits than that. Like, they only have, like, stereo vision. Like, she's only looking out of one eye on the side of her head, so, like, yeah, she needs it.
Maybe she has some kind of, like,
cool zoom vision?
I was saying condition where like left and right brain are split or something, so she's actually watching the same movie just out of two different eyeballs.
So she's never been able to see a movie until like Google Daydream came out. But maybe. She also didn't need the fucking headset because her weird VR vision only works at 18 inches from her face.
Maybe she's cross-eyed.
So why would that? It's not a magic eye. I texted my sister because she is much more knowledgeable about certain things than I am, especially health things. And I was like, hey, is there any reason on God's green earth other than dangerous insanity that someone would be watching a movie on their phone in VR mode? And she just said, no, that's horrifying.
Oh, man. I don't even know what to Google search to find like crazy people in VR mode.
I mean, like, is she just living in another dimension? Like, I mean, is she just the most evolved person on the planet? I don't think so, because she was talking about a serious iron deficiency she had, which maybe that does it. Maybe iron deficiency makes your eyes go VR.
That makes sense.
I have to assume not, but I have certain facts, and that's it. So I'm forced to assume that this iron deficiency made her go cross-eyed.
I still think if she was cross-eyed that it might work. Because if your eyes are, like, looking, like, opposite directions, you know?
Michael, no.
Because if you look cross-eyed, don't you see two things? Like, if you go cross-eyed, I can see two computer screens.
But it was, you could see you see two computer screens. Are any of them in focus?
I mean, kind of, actually. They're just very small.
Hold on, one more time. I just need to, yeah, there he is. Okay, got that.
Thank you. That like if you looked at a VR screen cross-eyed, would you see four or would you see one now? That's the question.
So if she was looking at her phone in VR mode from mm-hmm. in her held in her hand, not in a headset, and she went cross-eyed, she'd see fucking quadruple vision.
Or she sees one. You don't know which way it goes.
No, I know exactly. Michael, no, you're supposed to be the sciencey boy here. You know better than that.
I'm not an eye doctor.
It's not a reverse magic eye, you fool.
Just saying.
All right. Well, what do you got going on this week for me, buddy?
Speaking of situations that just don't smell right.
I'm so curious.
Headline. Farting controversy clouds dart championship.
Again? Another time. Wow.
Was this something that happened before?
No, Michael. It was a funny joke I made.
I don't get it.
Because, never mind.
You know what? I don't think I've ever seen myself cross-eyed before.
It looks insane. How could you look ridiculous.
Because you can't look in a mirror and see yourself cross-eyed.
No.
You have to take a picture. But mm-hmm. it's also really hard to take a picture.
That's why
someone
I'm
does
here.
It for you.
Thank God for print screen.
It's amazing. Also, my webcam is terrific.
Mm-hmm. That's sweet high
excellent
def.
Quality.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, darts, farting championships Nope, other way around. Farting at the dart championships. Okay. So two pro dart players have accused each other of farting on stage. And okay. I will quote the New York Post. It has casted a cloud over the heralded tournament.
Heralded. Nice. Yeah. The heralded tournament is, for some reason, them trying to make fart puns in the headline was overshadowed by heralded. Like, okay, it's still darts. It's there's no like heraldry going on.
So Gary Anderson of Scotland was playing Wesley Harms of the Netherlands. Okay. And Wesley got just destroyed 10-2.
Yeah.
Afterwards, he said, it'll take me two nights to lose this smell from my nose.
That's a hell of a two.
He chalked up his foul play to a fragrant smell, which he deduced came from the Scotsman's bowels, somewhere deep inside. And it was so bad that it caused him to be just bad at darts.
I mean,
this is a game played in bars, by the way.
Right. And that's kind of what I was going to go for. So you said they each accused each other. Like, so did someone just like toot? And then someone else was like, oh, wow, that was a stinker. I better fart too. I have to return this favor. Gamesmanship. It's own.
It, you know, the opening, the lead says that they accused each other. But right. Mostly this is talking about the Dutch player accusing the Scottish player of doing it.
So, Michael, you mentioned it's played in bars. I assumed that the general physique of a pro dart player is akin to the physique of a, let's say, pro bowling player.
Yeah, that's about right.
Sculpted by beer, a beverage, in my experience, now that I've been on the keto life, when I do drink beer, I get pretty tooty.
Mm. I get, yeah, very bloated too.
Mm-hmm. So this is a game played by people built on toot juice. And they get mad when they fart on each other? Hold on. Whoa.
Yeah, so...
Michael, are you reading from the New York Post?
Yes.
Did you read the additional quotes? If the boy thinks I farted, he's 1,010% wrong, said Anderson, who's ranked the world's number four dart player. If I was the story, I would have fudged it and said number two, just for funsies.
Yeah.
I swear on my children's lives that it was not my fault. I had a bad stomach once on stage before and admitted it, so I'm not going to lie about farting on stage. He continued, usually if I fart on stage, I shit myself. I've told you that before, he said to the newspaper. He said, if I fart on stage, I shit myself again. This is the second at least time I've said this to you, a journalist.
So if... This is what I always wondered. So when I was younger, I always wondered where sports people went to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like you're sitting on the bench.
Yeah.
You know, for an entire half for football, you know, that's like 7 hours now. And like you never see anyone having to run back to the bathroom.
There is a
like,
pretty
what do you do?
Good...
It's a one-on-one sport and all of a sudden you got to take a shit.
There's a pretty good, I think Deadspin did an article about interviews with athletes who very clearly pooped themselves. There was a Gator football player who did it a couple years ago. And I remember there being one quote from a guy who was a center. So in football, center who like just couldn't help it, shit himself.
Oh,
and
God.
Then obviously he's the center. So the quarterback has to go under center with his hands. And I think the quote, I'm pretty sure he played for the Lions. it wasn't Matt Stafford. Who was the quarterback before Stafford at the Lions?
There's a whole litany of them, like
yeah.
Dan Orlovsky and Scott Mitchell, and
So it might not have been the Lions, but I'm pretty sure I'm pretty sure Matt Schaub was the quarterback, and so basically the lineman's response was, "Yeah, I mean, I felt bad, but who cares? Because it's Matt Schaub."
I would be like, "No, we're not doing any more plays under center. It's all shotgun." Sorry.
Shotgun. I don't know. I'll even do the pistol. I don't even. I'm a quarterback. I don't even know what that is.
Because
go
they
back
literally
there,
rest. Their upper hand on
in the butt.
Booch.
In the butt. Yep.
Yeah. To make sure that you get a good snap. And so, no. Nope. Mm-mm.
It's got to be more often than not, because having played sports, like I've had to poop in the past, but like sometimes, like even in baseball, a game that goes by shockingly slowly, things can happen very, like, you can go, like, if, depending on how people, like, are swinging the bat, you can just go three and out in, like, 5 minutes. That's right. Not enough time to, like, run to, like, the clubhouse, poop.
Well,
safely.
Also, you were a catcher. You got all that
gear
on.
It took a lot of work to get out of that shit. But yeah.
But one-on-one sports, like tennis?
Tennis?
They play five-hour matches sometimes.
Fencing? I mean, I do remember reading a story about someone who, in like cross-country high school, which is only like a 3.5-mile run, that they would just poop themselves on cross-country runs. I'm like, are you kidding me?
That's a competitive advantage, though.
Is it? Because now you're running slicked and doo-doo.
Yeah, but no one wants to pass you.
That is, but at most, a 3.5-mile run is, if in hilly terrain, I'm going to say 40 minutes for a seasoned runner. And that's like...
40 minutes?
Like, if you're going uphill and shit. At most, 40 minutes.
No, I mean, if it's cross-country, yeah, I mean, 30 max.
Yeah. You can't hold it for 30 minutes max?
I don't know, man. Sometimes you just gotta go.
I mean, yeah. I do like this feeling, though, that this guy says, if I fart on stage, I shit my pants. Like, this guy only farts when it's so bad that it's a coin flip.
Well, I mean, and it's very believable that he didn't fart then, because, like, anyone who's willing to admit that they have shit themselves on stage before is probably not going to just be like, lie about farting.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's true. Like, if you're willing to say, yeah, I pooped myself one time, I've already admitted it to a newspaper, wouldn't do it again. I'm like, all right, bud, yeah.
And the British press, of course, is calling it Fartgate because...
Of course. Gate is the laziest fucking appendage to... I hate that Gate just gets added to every conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we so god... Like, Watergate was the name of the hotel. It wasn't Watergate Gate, you dumb assholes.
Yeah, it's like he wasn't stealing water. That's not why we called it Watergate.
Right. Michael,
it should be called like Fartnado, maybe.
Fartnado. Yeah, at this point, why not? Michael, is there a sport where farting would gain you a competitive edge? Or just
competitive
a game?
Eating?
Competitive, well, yeah, you're making room.
Well, not just making room, but have you ever tried to eat food when it just smells like shit?
I mean, and someone else's poop.
Right.
No, like, thank you.
I mean, taste is tied very closely to smell.
Mm-hmm.
So they might be chowing down on that apple pie and all of a sudden be like, I can't eat any more of this apple pie.
Because it smells like butts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say, I mean.
Running?
No, I mean, running, you're just farting. That's fine.
No, but you get it a little extra. Extra, you expel some backwards, you go forward.
How about this? More of a competitive disadvantage to your foes, because running, like, the whole point for this was that they would fart, move away, and then someone else would have to stand in their stink cloud and try to do good dart stuff, which, as anyone knows, it's a game of concentration. And if I'm smelling your stink, I'm not getting that bullseye or whatever the fuck you're going for.
Also, it's not illegal to fart,
no.
Is it?
I mean, you know, Michael, ain't no rule in the rulebook says a dog can't fart and play basketball. Honestly, if a league had to in their league charter say, and y'all come on now with the toots, like no dookie stuff. Sorry.
Have you ever watched darts on TV?
Yeah, for like 12 seconds when I accidentally. I'd rather watch competitive cup stacking.
Yeah, it's
because it fucking rules.
Like, it's huge. It's huge in. In like London, or not London, just Great Britain in general, apparently.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, our friend said, let me find what Matt said. He said,
I'm going to say it's only sedentary sports where this would be a competitive advantage. Like poker. If you
said,
can fart and get away with it.
He said, the Brits and the Dutch are crazy about darts. I went to an England-Holland friendly in Amsterdam, and they had a dart match as a halftime entertainment in a 60,000 seat stadium.
And, like, people didn't get up and leave to get, like, their schnitzels?
I guess not. I mean, probably some people, but, like, how
do you think it's because they were high? Because they were just in Amsterdam and they were just like, yeah, well, fuck it, throw that thing.
Like on How I Met Your Mother when they went and ate a sandwich and they thought it had been, like, 4 hours and it had been, like, 14 minutes.
Yeah, soccer games must take forever when you're high in Amsterdam.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. All right, Michael, real quick, I know we had a real clean week last week. and we didn't talk about dongs for the first time in a long time, which felt it felt really good. I'm actually not going to talk about dongs.
Okay, thank
I'm
going to
talk about, well, sex toys for perverts.
I don't want to talk about sex toys without talking about dongs. Okay. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be so good about it.
Walk this tightrope.
And it's mostly on, Michael, as we get, as we inch ever closer to the singularity, humans are making sex toys worse and worse and worse, particularly for males, we're bad, I guess.
Well, there was the robot brothel that opened up.
Yeah, and I saw they were like auctioning off the quote unquote virginity of this sex robot for £10,000. I was like, y'all, what? It's a robot though.
Huh.
And no, anyway, yeah. I don't want to talk about this.
Yes.
I want to talk about one thing specifically. And again, I don't want to talk about dicks, Michael, so you can't make me. But according to the Sun Online, inventor Brian Sloan has made the world's first oral sex robot, oral sex only for guys, which is pretty fucked up, and it's named Autoblow AI.
Why is this a feat?
I don't know, particularly because of how they trained this AI, and this is what I want to talk about, because I know that, like, machine learning, like, even Google's, like, auto responses for text, and, like, we talked about this in, like, our second or third episode, the Google Photos, like, AI or algorithm that made me a video of Sora having a seizure played to, like, jaunty music.
Or, like, the AI that they had to take offline because it just became a big racist chatbot.
Right, which happens too often.
Yeah.
Again, so those are AIs created with,
we had a conversation with Google's autocomplete, and it basically just turned into a weird circular logic thing where we just kept asking.
Okay, cool.
Cool, how are you? I'm good. Ha ha, cool, how are you?
Where are we going? Neat. And those are, like, trained for, like, probably tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of hours with massive amounts of computing power. Here's the headline after the world's first oral sex robot named Autoblow AI has been created. U.S. developers taught it the actions. Sorry, Sora. Taught it the actions after studying 108 hours of video porn.
108 hours. Of video porn.
Also, they did spend 3 years, apparently, listening to the feedback from 200,000 Autoblow 2 owners and built a new machine in response. I don't really care about that. I do not care. I do not want to think about those 200,000 perverts. All I want to talk about, Michael, is how dangerously insane an artificial intelligence that has only been trained on 100 hours of online porn would be.
That is, it's terrifying.
If it had sensory inputs, it would be the kind of AI that would watch movies in VR mode on their smartphone.
That said, she's a robot.
Could be.
Well, maybe that's the problem.
Her iron deficiency was literally just like steel, like iron beams. Mm. She was deficient in beams in her body.
Jeff
in her
Fuel
carapace.
Can't melt steel beams.
Yeah. First of all, just the shocking shortfall of hours training in AI to, I don't know, grope your hog. Sorry, I did it. But also, only video porn is the only input for this intelligence.
What I don't get is,
what happens when it wakes up?
Well, no, it's machine. It's a machine. Well, that too. But I've seen the thing, and it basically is only going to hurt the person with their junk in it.
It looks like an Xbox with a lady's face on the side of it, and I cannot tell you how haunting this thing is. Also, the guy hawking this is just in a shitty maroon polo and a Fu Manchu mustache.
He looks
like the world's biggest pervert.
Yeah, and con man.
Yeah.
He kind of looks like Paul Scheer trying to be tough.
But he looks like Paul Scheer cosplaying Danny Trejo.
Yes. But here's the thing, 108 hours, that's only like 4 days, right?
Yeah, Mike. Yep.
That's right. Like, if they're doing machine learning, like, and they're releasing a product, like, why couldn't it have watched tens of thousands of hours?
Right.
They don't have to watch it at the same speed as us.
It's out there, right. By the way.
Like, they could have just sent this AI to Pornhub and be like, come back when you're done.
And, like, if that's the case, like, I mean, if they did, was the 108 hours just of like the blow action, or is this just like all the fooling around and like the sensual music up front?
I mean, this is going to be a very frustrated AI then.
Mm-hmm. It's like, all right, let's go. I have to say, after a month of his Indiegogo campaign being launched, he had 310 backers who had already raised an impressive $37,000.
Hmm.
That's too much money per person for this bad sex book.
So how many people? Wait, how many people got up to?
310 to 37,000, 38,000 almost.
Yeah, that's over $1,000 a person. Nope.
Nope.
It's $100 a person.
I made you say it out loud because I knew I would fuck it up.
Oh, God. Okay. My brain isn't working. Yeah. $129 is what you get for the Indiegogo, roughly 99 pounds. Retail, it will be $249.
Oh, well, getting while the getting is good. Is this the world's worst artificial? You know, is this the world's worst artificial intelligence?
Yeah, probably.
I can't think of a worse application for like humanity. I mean, like,
I also don't understand why it needs AI.
Right.
Like, dudes have been sticking their things in
things.
Yeah, in whatever any hole anywhere. Like, all it would have to do is like slightly move in a rhythmic fashion and it would probably work. Let's be honest. Yep. It doesn't need to watch even a single hour of AI or of video porn.
All it needs to do is not move above a certain speed or at a certain force. That's about it.
It does have 10 speeds available, including the full stroke, fast edge, top and bottom stroke, which gives a quieter experience that won't alert people to your activities.
What? Are you... Who is using this in public?
I don't know. And is it tied to
actually,
anything?
I'm sorry I asked that. Anyone who bought this is probably using it in public. I'm sorry.
Ooh.
Anyway, Michael, how you doing, buddy? What do you got for this week?
I was doing okay now.
Until you've looked into the abyss and oops, it looked back.
Yeah.
Holy cock. Sorry.
Holy cock?
It is... Michael, I just found out. First of all, it has now raised more than almost $232,000 by a little less than 1,800 people. Would you care to guess from which fair city the inventor fares?
Orlando.
No, but I mean, like, good guess. Like, yeah. Whoa, great guess. Jacksonville would have been a better guess, but like Orlando, yes. Pretty good. But oops, nope, it's the same place that fucking bought you the pickle slushy. Chicago.
I mean, we are a newfound tech hub.
Yeah, for perverts.
Look, it gets very cold. You're indoors a lot.
What is this guy doing? There's just a video. I'm going to send you his Indiegogo because it's horrifying. There's just a video of him jamming what appears to be a 2-foot-long cucumber into this thing while he makes his vinegar strokes face. This whole thing is so bad. Why did I look at this, Mike? Why'd you make me do this? Oh, God. Everything about this thing is bad.
Oh my God. He even more looks like Paul Scheer trying to look tough now.
Here's the thing. Okay, so Michael, you said that AI, or like machine learning, wouldn't have to watch at the same speed we do. Guess what? They apparently watched 8,333 minutes, almost 6 full days of oral sex videos, at 50% speed. And manually moved a drawing of a head on the drawing of a penis to indicate the actions occurring in real time. So this was not really the AI watching porn. This was perverts sitting in a room taking detailed notes and diagrams. A
yeah,
quality
so it was just
controller
them watching
then
porn.
Rewatched the recordings and eliminated ones that were inaccurate. So
inaccurate?
Multiple people sat in a room with notepads just watching porn at 50% speed, which, like, holy shit, that's the saddest thing I've ever heard in my life. Watching porn at full speed is upsetting to me most times.
Yeah.
So there is a very progressive GIF in this Indiegogo. At the bottom, it shows what appears to be from scale to the balls, about a 6-foot long ding dong, fully erect, and a tightly coiffed man's head is sliding up and down the shaft of this penis. But
oh my God, what
while like the Matrix streams up above it. This is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah.
It was all worth it for this gift.
I mean, this is like the, okay, so the amount of development and prototyping and stuff that they've gone through.
Yeah, you're an engineer.
For this is insane.
Yeah.
Also, why 3 years? That's too long. Like, it took us 3 years to, like, make an entire gas turbine.
Well, oh, it's haunting. Oh, there's a gif of the human fake silicon mouth gaping at me. Oh, it's so bad. Oh, I'm so upset I found this.
Oh,
I hate the internet so much. Oh, God, it's so bad.
Yeah, no, it's disturbing. It's disturbing. And, like, this guy is just so proud to be, like, the most perverted person in the world.
Yeah, I mean, and again, though, they've done, like, this is serious engineering work. Also, they did 5 rounds of prototyping. Can you imagine being the prototyping, like, injection molding facility that just got the plans for a gaping silicone lady mouth? And you're just like, I don't want to, actually.
Can you imagine being the first person to actually use, like, the very first prototype?
No. No. I can't imagine using this thing, period.
It's only a matter of time before they tie it to, like, actual movies and stuff, right?
I mean, literally, Ready Player One, Two will be, you're just, you go to the film wearing a full bodysuit and this thing strapped to your ding dong.
Okay, one of the pictures in this Indiegogo is, look at this picture I just sent you.
I don't want to. Oh, God.
It basically looks like one of the toys that Sid recreated on Toy Story with just arms and a head.
No, it looks like the catapult that the kids in Sandlot built, but then they added human hands on sticks and a lady head with no hair. And then this guy is just stroking her fucking head. Oh, I hate this guy so much. Why is the hand on this erector set horrible? Oh, God. Why is it holding, like, a safety headset, like earphones? What is going to happen in that? How loud is it going to get? How loud is this fucking sex bot?
Oh, God.
Does that feel good?
Oh, God. Can we please talk about something else?
Like, literally anything else. Oh, boy, howdy. Oh, God, there's no happy stories. Michael, do you have a palate cleanser? Which I understand after what we just talked about is a gross thing to say, but anything to clear the air.
Tell me something good that happened to you this week. You want
to
talk about skinning a dead guy and putting his skin on your walls?
Oh, yes, please. Anything to get that bad taste out of my mouth.
Widow has dead husband skinned so she can hang his tattoos on the wall.
I'm not actually sure I, like, physically heard what you said to me before. I just said, yes, talk about that. So a widow was just like, yeah, flay my dead husband.
Yep.
I almost said flay him alive, but I guess that's
he was super not. Dead when he got flayed.
he was toast dead. Okay.
But apparently before he died, he told his wife that he wanted his skin to be removed, preserved, and displayed in his tattoo studio when he died because he wanted future generations to be able to see his artwork.
Okay, so he wants it in the tattoo parlor. Okay, I thought he wanted it just like
some in her house too.
Okay, that's what I was kind of worried about. So did she want this?
She said, "I thought that's different, but yeah, cool. I don't care what it takes. I'm gonna get this done for him. You can hang a picture on a wall. A tattoo is something that has been done for hundreds of years. It's just preserving it
on human skin, though.
Yeah, I mean, people have used human skin for a lot of things.
Over the years. Also, mostly, socially acceptably, other beings' skin, which
that
also
is
when
true.
I say it like that, sounds
that
weird.
That is true. I mean, if you wear a leather jacket, you're literally just wearing a skinned dead animal on you.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. Use every part of the animal, Michael. Yeah. I will say, part of me gets this if she had just, like, Well, no, not if she'd just done it. No, that's weird. I don't really get the self-centeredness of being like, I know I'm dead, but you gotta get a load of these tats.
Everyone
like,
has to see these tats.
You gotta see this thing. Oh boy. A lot of these mean literally nothing. You gotta see these things.
I mean, I guess though, like if, so you, tattoo, people who do tattoos, they're artists, and most artists, you know, their artwork gets to live on.
Yeah. So why not his?
Why not? Did you know that there's a company that does this?
That preserves human flesh?
Yes.
After death? Okay. For like, for loved ones or just as part of like a self-set, like narcissistic, I gotta leave my good flesh behind.
It's called Save My Ink Forever. Yeah. So,
save,
I mean, it's...
Okay, Save My Ink. Okay.
So, it's for, I would assume it's for people to be like, hey, when I die...
So, I had a couple thoughts immediately when you said this to me. One, I am a bit... How old was this guy?
41.
Okay, so his skin was still nice and toy.
Yeah, he died. He died in his sleep. He was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis. So he
died of that doesn't seem. Hold on, unless I'm.
It says it's a disease that causes a fast or irregular heartbeat.
Yeah, I mean that's just. I thought ulcerative colitis was just like you had a very like sensitive tum tum. I thought it was mostly just an inflammation. Was it untreated?
No, so I think ulcerative colitis is...
I mean, yeah, one of our friend's brothers had this. Like, it's not something that, like, it seems treatable.
They must be wrong, then, because it says a disease that causes a fast or irregular heartbeat, but ulcerative colitis does not do
ulcerative colitis
that.
Is, like, inflamed bowels.
Right.
It's like, you might get bloody diarrhea and ulcers, but it shouldn't, like...
They must...
Shouldn't...
I mean, it is the mirror, so I mean, like, they don't have the best fact checkers.
I mean, like, it can cause, like, dehydration and a lot of other things, but maybe just, like, and weight loss, but, so maybe just, what? Anyway, let's not get too far down this rabbit hole, but...
Welcome to Save My Ink Forever, where we have developed a unique proprietary process for preserving tattoos. Our mission is to help carry on a loved one's stories.
Yeah, so I guess I had two thoughts immediately. One, so I'm a... When it comes to relationships, I'm a bit of like a emotional pack rat. Like I don't tend to get rid of things from like that like mean stuff to me from like past relationships.
Really?
Like I have, yeah. Like I actually have.
What if you start dating someone else? Seriously,
that's what I'm gonna get to that. So like in my apartment, like kind of hidden, I have like a. Drawing on canvas that of like some weird silly thing that just like was very funny. It meant something to me at the time, like a pencil drawing of that.
But it's on canvas.
It's on canvas.
It's just art.
But it's not really. I mean, it's art to me because I liked it.
It's on canvas.
Also,
it's an art.
Also, I did like a wine and painting class with an ex that like we both did the same thing, and I think I won. But again, I liked it, so I still have that in my closet. It's not hanging up anywhere. But I have it. It's going to be a conversation. If this lady starts seeing someone again and she's just got like a heaping helping of back meat up on over the mantelpiece with like some maybe cool tattoos on it. What does that conversation look like? Oh, yeah, that's just my dead husband's back skin.
Oh, hey, that's some cool art you have there on the walls. It's very unique. I don't think I've ever seen that before.
Oh, yeah, that's a Greg by Greg from Greg.
Oh, so somebody by Greg made that painting on like a canvas? Or what kind of media did he use?
So the title of the art is Greg by artist Greg. Medium, more Greg. It's Greg's all the way down. It's Greg's okay. Back.
I'm gonna go now.
Ink on Greg.
I'm just gonna turn around and I'm gonna leave.
No, get a little of this ink on Greg by Greg.
Do you have any more Gregs?
Oh, tons of Gregs.
This is not my taste, but you know what?
Michael, my house?
Use a Greg.
My house? Littered with Greg.
With Gregs.
I actually had coasters made of Greg. Greg coasters.
You know what? That makes sense.
Check out this Greg purse. It got weird.
Why did you use the nipples for that one? kind of weird the way they just poke out of this side of this purse. But hey, you know, use every part of the human is what I always say.
Here's the thing, though. You think they kept it, like, is it a certain portion of, like, listen, we'll get the back. We'll do a flat canvas, but, or is it, like, we're going to make you a Greg shirt with tattoos? Like, I want to know the presentation of this whole situation, because if it's just a man-sized, man-shaped, like, cutout of tattoos, oh, there's a picture. I wish I hadn't asked. I wish I hadn't asked you this question.
I mean, from his neck down, or from basically chin down, he is tatted. So what this says is, save my ink forever. We'll spend around 3 months working on Chris's body, which involves a complicated surgical process. According to Kyle, this is the largest tattoo preservation ever to be done in North America.
Okay.
So they're going to spend 3 months skinning Greg.
His name's Greg to me. He'll always be Greg.
So on the website, this Save My Ink website, which literally looks like it was made on GeoCities, says you receive the all capitals actual tattoo. This becomes a framed piece of art that is presented to the family in a also all capitalized dignified manner.
I doubt that so heavily. There's no way it's dignified.
Having also, skin put into a frame and handed back to you?
And if I can think of two things that are more overpriced than funeral services and frames, I can't actually think of any. Those are the two big ones. The two biggest scams this side of the Mississippi.
Wedding cakes.
Well, I haven't been there yet.
Mm,
I didn't know.
I mean, like, what? I mean, this is basically a step removed from having your loved one stuffed, right?
Here's the thing, though.
Like taxidermied?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, it's just you made a rowdy out of your husband. You made a good rowdy boy.
Okay, wait, 1 second. Sorry, I have a tangential taxidermy thought or story that I need to share.
I have a more important thought, real quick.
Yep.
So he's tatted up all over the place. It's down his chest and tum-tum, starting from the neck down. Here's the artist.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't put these tattoos on himself. These are not, like, Greg originals.
They might be.
He might have drawn them. He didn't put them on himself.
He could have. Maybe not the neck, but, like, the arms for sure, and the belly.
Have you tried to do anything, like, right on your arm? Do anything to yourself.
I've seen people who have done tattoos on their own arms. It's impressive.
Michael, I'm gonna say this. There's no way in fuck this guy tattooed himself on his back or tummy.
Not the back. I could say maybe the tummy. Definitely not the chest and neck.
Literally none of this he did himself. Hey, Michael, here's a picture of him getting tattooed by a lady on his leg. That's on, I found his wife's Instagram, because it was linked to in the Sun article.
Oh, okay.
So now he's just, maybe he did the art. He didn't do the tattoos, though.
That's true.
Okay, so sorry, go to your thought about...
So I was getting my hair cut
mm-hmm.
on Thursday. Day you arrived, I wanted to look nice and trim for you.
It looked so nice.
And I was talking to my hairstylist, and we were talking about, like, how weird shit always happens to her. And I told her your story about the fact that you stole a dog and
stole
then had
a dog
crash
and
her
it
car.
Killed my car. Yeah.
Because she told me the story about how a bird got into her apartment and her cats went crazy. And then I was like, we were talking about how the bird, like, couldn't get back out the window and it kept flying into the front window and hitting the ground. And they thought that it was like, and eventually the way they got it was it hit the window and got knocked out. And so they basically nursed it back to health and then let it go and it was fine. And I was like, oh yeah, sometimes when I'm working from home, like birds will fly into our window and you'll hear the thud.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, but they must be fine because I've never seen a dead bird out like in the front area. Like they didn't just hit the window and fall down and die. And she said to me,
I am literally sick to my stomach thinking about what you're going to say to me in the next 5 seconds.
She said to me, well, if you do find any,
no,
bring it to me and I will taxidermy it.
I thought she was going to say that.
Oh. And I laughed and she laughed too. And then she said, no, I'm serious. My boyfriend got me into this hobby. And we have like taxidermied birds and stuff all over our apartment.
Hey, guess what? No wonder weird shit keeps happening to you. You go out looking for it. I just perused neighbors' front lawns looking for dead, dumb birds so I can stuff them.
It took, I'm not going to lie, it broke my brain for a little bit. Like, I'm like a person who's like to each their own. Like, I may make fun of your hobby or whatever, but I don't really care in the long run.
I don't go out
like that,
looking for roadkill to that stuff.
I didn't know what to say. Like, I don't know how, what do you say to a person who's just like, yeah, if you find any dead animals in your yard,
did you even hear the next 10 minutes of conversation? Like, when she asked, like, oh, rounded or squared? You're like, I don't fucking care.
I don't know. I don't even remember paying. I just came to and I was back at my house.
You ran into a glass door. Like, oh, I'm home. Shit. Nothing. I don't think I would have gotten up in the middle of that haircut. And it's like, I gotta go. There's a bird that needs help. I need to leave. Goodbye.
Also, like, if your significant other is like, hey, let's get into taxidermy, it's not something you just be like, yeah, let's do that. It's something you go, no, and please leave.
Like, no joke. Again, I'm out there trying to date. I have heartburn about being like, yes, yeah, sometimes I like comic books and like, oops, every once in a while I listen to a Dungeons and Dragons podcast because it's funny and they make boner jokes and there's dragons in it. So like, that's a good time for me. And I have like the biggest anxiety about telling people that, hey, sometimes I do things that like, I don't know, 50% of the population's into. I can't imagine, this is probably, it should be a harder conversation than being like, hey, sometimes during sex, I like you to shove stuff up my butt.
Yeah.
Like, telling people in your spare time you like to go around and collect dead birds from people's front yards to stuff them and make them dance around in your apartment. That should be a tougher conversation than, hey, sometimes I like to dress up as a dinosaur and break into, like, consensually break into windows to, like, role play sex.
I want to role play Spider-Man, but I want it to be as realistic as possible. You will not know when I'm going to show up.
And, like, if there's not an old man yelling that he wants pictures of Spider-Man in the bedroom, like, I'm probably not going to be into it. So,
I'm not going to be able to handle it.
Yeah.
What do you think the overlap is between people who do taxidermy and people who would buy a blowjob machine?
I'm going to be very honest. I think those are the furthest separate Venn diagram. Like, there are just two circles that are not, like, not even in the same galaxy.
Really?
They are
one and the same to me.
No, I feel like those people are just in a totally different sexual universe, and not in a weird way, not necessarily, but like, I don't think someone who, I mean, whatever, I don't know.
That's
I don't
true.
Feel
they
like someone
transcended. They probably transcended sex. They don't need it anymore.
Maybe
just the birds. Just need my birds.
Just need my little pals. Juniper. Ladybug. Well, Michael, that's
like
the most upsetting.
I thought my hairstylist was fairly normal.
That's the thing, Michael. I assume everyone is fucking normal until they open their goddamn mouths. And I'm like,
I've been going to her because I've been going to the same person for like 3 years.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, Michael. So it took her 3 years out of casual conversation to bring up that, oh, hey, my boyfriend got me into collecting dead birds. So if you see any, put them in a sack. And next time you come for your haircut in, I don't know, 3 to 5 weeks, bring me a sack of dead birds. So it took her 3 years to make that ask. To be cool enough with you to make that request of you.
Mm-hmm.
How long do you think it took her boyfriend, an intimate lover, to get to the point where you're like, oh, hey, we've had a lot of fun here. I've loved playing Settlers of Catan. Can't wait to have sex later. I do stuff dead birds. Actually, it probably came up earlier because I assume she went to his apartment at any point and saw, oh, look at those cute little like replica birds. It's like, oh, no, homie, them used to be lives. And I made them into my little friends.
Yeah. So that's the thing is, I feel like it would be worse if I was dating someone for a while and then I found out that they like to do taxidermy, because I feel like they have been hiding something from me in a very nefarious way.
Right.
And if I went into someone's house and I realized that it was just rife with dead animals.
What's worse, one taxidermy animal or like a whole fleet of them?
I mean, I would assume that like
it was a beloved pet,
right? It was a beloved pet or something, or it was like your grandma's or some shit. But like, if you have an army of taxidermied birds, that is,
It's a red flag when you, Man, I have so many questions about this bird collection. Are they caught in mid-flight, suspended from the ceiling? Are they just little tree birds?
Well, I'll let you know in.
I assume the invite to their house is over is incoming. If she's comfortable enough to tell you about the bird, like if she's comfortable to ask you to bring her a sack full of dead birds, I assume you're getting close to a Christmas dinner invite.
I don't need the invite because she is moving into a new salon with three other people from the salon. They're starting their own, and she said that it was decorated with some of the taxidermied birds.
Hey, Michael.
Yeah.
I know how tough this is, so I don't say this lightly. You got to find a new barber, bud. You can't go back.
I mean, that is a worry, right? Because she's like, oh, hey, by the way, we're starting this new place.
You are like within weeks of her combing your hair at the end of this thing with fucking bird talons.
Or they're just going to taxidermy me.
Yeah. Which, again,
the longest con.
You just need some tattoos and you'll be your set.
Like, what if you don't have tattoos? So save my tattoos forever. What if I don't have tattoos? I just really like my skin.
I just think I have a God's tapestry.
I really like this part of my arm.
My canvas was so perfect. I didn't want to ruin it with tattoos. So just like, I guess just take my body and just like display it somewhere. Because it's that good.
I have the best belly button and I want that preserved.
Yuckaroony. No one wants that. Sorry. Nope. I can't.
I just want it'll basically look like the Guy Fieri bathing suit.
I have a floating patch of hair on my shoulder that came out of nowhere. Would love for that just to be kind of I don't know, the Louvre seems appropriate. I don't know, I'll take a lesser Smithsonian if that's all you got room for, but you know, I'm
all right, fine. I'll do Ripley's.
Taking bids. Well, Michael, circling back to relationships that ended too soon, I found a headline that is as faulty as it is pretty damn funny. and unfortunately, it is from Unilad in the UK, which is basically like Bro Bible, but, you know, whatever. Right. Here's the headline. Wife reads out husband's affair texts instead of vows at wedding.
Okay, so the headline implies that they are now married.
Married.
Which would seem odd after reading out affair texts. Or is that just like, oh, this is cool.
By the way, still into it. Just want everyone to know.
I just want everyone to know what we're getting into here.
He's an asshole, but I'm cool with it. Yeah, so fact error. Two fact errors, actually, in the headline, which back in journalism college days, that's 50 points off right off the top. So she's the author, or the journalist, Lucy Connolly, not doing great as far as grades in Mike Foley's class go. So she walked down the aisle, and the night before her wedding, apparently, she revealed that she had gotten a number of texts from a number she didn't recognize, exposing her fiancé's double life and turning her world upside down.
Oh, boy.
So the night before her wedding.
Sent by the affairer?
The second party in the affair who was not her fiance. And I don't know how I would handle this, but so she watched her phone buzz when she was enjoying drinks with her bridesmaids, and she walked over expecting to see like a congratulations text, and then she got a number of texts from an unknown number showing screenshots of her fiance and another woman, and then the woman texted her, "I wouldn't marry him, will you?"
Damn, that's some like Joker shit.
Yeah, for real. And then like there's some of the texts were screenshotted, which is like some of these are just like I almost have to assume this whole story is fake because the texts are so bad. First text: this weekend, you and I, it is on, hot stuff. Bring your A game. And like I'm not good at flirty texting, but like I think I can do better than that.
Yeah.
And then
bring your A game, huh?
Yeah.
That's implying then, that like at some point he didn't bring his A game though.
Right. Or yeah, he or she didn't. Then your body is fucking incredible and shit, do you know how to use it? I wish my GF had half the skills you do. And the reason I know these are fake is that someone talking like that and they still used proper punctuation through all of these texts.
Mm. It's
like, no,
that's true.
Nah, fam. So apparently she walked down the
aisle. I
actually
use punctuation in text, though.
I use, yeah, but not when I'm like, not when I'm being sexy about it.
Not when you're doing it one-handed. Hey-o.
Gross, Rooney. but apparently she walked down the aisle, turned to the crowd in the middle of the aisle, and just said, not going to be a wedding today. It seems Alex is not who I thought he was. And then she started reading the messages out loud.
That's a bold move, but also one I am 100% in on.
Yeah. And then she had the reception party by herself and all
of her
guests.
That would be the best wedding ever. Assuming that it wasn't like someone I was super good friends with.
Right.
Like if I was someone who's just plus one, like that would be the dopest wedding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because you're just like everyone's there to get hammered at that point.
Right. Because and like the ceremony's fine most of the time. And most of the time it's all the same stuff. It's not really that exciting. There's nothing new.
I mean, it's weird to say, but like, I one day want to go to a wedding, like not one of my friends' weddings, but like, again, as a plus one or just kind of like show up, like not just show up at, but like just see someone when they ask, which I've actually never heard really like this played, mm-hmm. like given true service, but like, if anyone has any doubts why these two should be wed, speak now, forgive or hold your peace. Someone is just like, yeah, actually, he's a ding dong.
Mm-hmm.
A real bad boy, and here's my receipts. And then everyone
just parties.
It's even
worse though when
it's
the bride to be who is the one who stands up and says, "Yes, here are the receipts.
I got them seats though." Yeah, and I don't want to make light of all of cheating because it sucks. But man, this would be one hell of a boss party.
Yeah.
Here's a conundrum, Michael. If you're a groomsman in this wedding, and let's just say that you didn't know that he was a shithead.
Yep.
Bride-to-be walks down the aisle, drops this bombshell. Presumably, you're hopefully pretty good friends with the bride-to-be at that point also, if you're good enough to be in the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Do you stay and party with her?
Oh, 100%, yeah.
And let him be a shithead by himself?
Oh, yeah. If you're that big of a shithead, like, I may still be friends with you, but I'm going to let you know how big of a shithead you are.
Mm-hmm.
And the best way I can do that is by getting drunk with your
booze.
Former fiance with your booze.
The
and
booze
your food.
You've paid for and the cake you've paid for.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you can go pound sand, bud. I'm going to go mm-hmm. have a good party.
Yeah. I mean, even if it was like my best friend,
yeah.
I'd be like, hey, you're going to go sit over there by yourself and you're going to think about what you've done.
Mm-hmm. Or don't. I don't really care anymore. You're
also,
just go.
Also, I'm your best friend and you didn't tell me. You're a dick.
Pretty fucked up.
It's pretty fucked up.
Although that puts a lot of weight on you, though.
I guess.
To be a good person.
But like, yeah, give me the opportunity to talk you out of it, you shithead.
Mm, true, true. Any final thoughts on that?
This is why you tell your friends about your bad decisions before you do them, so that they can hopefully talk you out of them.
That is one thing, Michael, that I appreciate you for. Like, you've never made a ding-dong mistake of this caliber, but like, when we were in Tokyo... Mm-hmm. And you took off sprinting down an alleyway and disappeared into the night. And let it be known I was the only one who followed you. You did give us like 10 seconds heads up that like, I'm going to go away now. Like,
oh, yeah,
you gave a moment's notice for everyone else to be like, crunch the numbers and be like, is it worth my time to chase down our friend in a foreign city where no one speaks his language? And I appreciated you doing that.
Look, I'm very self-aware. I know myself. Doesn't mean that I can stop myself from being impulsive, especially when I'm drunk. But I know it's coming.
I didn't know if it was a survival instinct thing. Just be like, listen, I need someone. This is a cry for help. I can't help myself. I need a friend. But I am going to have to go away now.
I mean, you're like me. You're not... Like, we're social, but also at some point, it's just like, I just don't want to be talking with people anymore.
It's a social nope. We've talked about noping
right.
out of, like, dangerous situations.
Right.
Sometimes I want to nope out of just, like, I don't want to be around this table anymore.
Right. Or it's like, I don't want to have to conform to societal norms right this minute. You know, like, especially, I don't remember exactly the situation, obviously, because I ran away from you guys, but mm-hmm. I'm going to assume that we were trying to figure out where we were going to go next.
Yes.
And in my brain, I'm like, I'm drunk as hell. I don't want to have to make decisions. So I'm just going to start going that way.
I'm
going to
remove myself from the decision-making process.
Exactly.
And hopefully I have the capability of making a decision later. Or a friend. A decision Sherpa to guide me back to the world of the living. And that's me, Michael Cushing, your decision Sherpa.
Hey, can I ask you a question, though?
Shoot.
Who had the better time?
I had a great time.
Who had the better time, us or the people we ran away from?
I honestly have no idea. I've never actually asked them how their night went.
Probably us.
Because I had a great time.
We had an amazing time.
All right, Michael, I think that's going to do it for us this week on Trends in Low Places. I had an amazing time, buddy.
Oh, me too.
I'm sorry we talked about ding-dongs again.
We did.
It was so
just
funny.
For a second.
It was like 8 to 10 minutes.
It was like just the tip.
It was a solid above average 8 to 10 minutes. It might have been 6, but I'll say 8 to 10. Everyone, if you like this episode, you can find out more information at goodbuddymedia.com. Again, there's blog posts. They're old. You can also find out more information about our sister show, Longest Days of Our Lives, in which Michael and I and our good friend Curtis are watching every single episode of The Hit Show 24. And I am going to spend a considerable amount of my evening on Thanksgiving editing the finale of season 2, that absolute shit bear of an episode.
Hey, I watched an episode of The Orville. I don't know why, but I saw Perry Johnson Gerald mm-hmm. on there, and it was very disconcerting because she does not play
Sherry Palmer.
She plays someone who's like much more flippant and like
when she had a conversation with Xander Berkeley via our Twitter account mm-hmm. because we were just tagged in a conversation, or I tagged them in a conversation and they just kind of joined in. She was the sweetest lady on the planet Earth.
Yeah, I know.
And I loved it.
But like if I saw her, I would be like, oh my God, it's Sherry Palmer.
She's an evil conniver. Yeah. But we are going to finish that episode anytime now. That should go up hopefully next week. And then we will be starting season 3, which again is fantastic. So if you like this show, you will probably like that one, even if you've never seen or don't care for 24. It's just us goofing on shit. So if you like that one, please take a, or if you like this show, please take a listen to Longest Days of Our Lives, our 24 fan cast. But also, more importantly, if you want to share a story or have us read a message to a fellow listener or just to anyone, your greatest enemy who doesn't listen to the show, mm-hmm. We will read literally anything you send to us on air. We read every email we get. We love hearing from our fans. So you can reach out to us at goodbuddymedia@gmail.com. We read every message we get. We love hearing from you guys. So please send us a message, whatever you got. And
yeah,
Michael.
I mean, it's basically like the teleprompter. Mm-hmm. In Anchorman, if you put words in front of Kush, he will read them.
I have a child's mind. I will read literally anything that you put
anything.
In front of me. Yep. Michael, how else can people help us out?
You can find us wherever you get your podcasts by searching for Trends in Low Places. And when you do, please hit that subscribe button. Download all the episodes and please give us a rating or a review. We appreciate everyone who's given us the great ratings and reviews and, keep them coming. You can also find us on all the social medias, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at TILPcast, at TILPcast. Please, retweet our stuff. Give us a like, a retweet, a share, and, talk to us. We're always on Twitter. So, shoot us a message, whether you like the show or not, if you have a link, a shower thought, anything you got.
I mean, and honestly, I love our friend Dave, but it's just him sending us perv stuff.
Yeah,
and
no,
we would love for anyone.
And it's mostly pictures, which isn't really good for an audio medium.
Yeah.
So I think he just sends them just because.
I think it's just because.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I will say this. I prefer Dave's tweets to both of us over his text to us.
Yeah.
I'll say this. This personally, the picture of Jesus with a butt plug in was a bridge too far for this gentleman.
Hopefully that AI robot did not see that one. Hey, you want a shower thought?
I would love one.
This
Please
is by,
clean me.
This is by Fred Ducky.
Oh, boy.
The more dismembered the animal in your freezer is, the more socially acceptable it gets.
That's That's right. Yeah, that's a good one.
If you have a whole cow in your freezer, that's some serial killer shit.
First of all, hell of a freezer. Second of all, boy howdy, no thanks. I'm going to say this, though. No matter how dismembered it is, if you've got the head in there, it's still pretty fucked up.
Yeah, that is the one thing. Although, if you had just a headless cow in your freezer, that might be weirder.
I honestly don't know. Here's the two things. If it's got head and or legs, full legs, shit's gone south.
I still think that if I opened a freezer and it was an entire cow, skin, everything, just without a head and without legs, that's weirder to me.
Why would you put the skin in a freezer?
I'm just saying, like, okay, let's say a deer. Like, you hit a deer on your way home, you shove it in your big walk-in freezer, whatever. But if you cut the legs off and the head and you stuck it in your freezer, that's fucked up, right?
Yeah, that is fair.
See?
What if it had cool tattoos?
Well, then I'm saving all those.
Sure. Well, Michael, it's been lovely talking with you, buddy.
Love you.
Love you, too. Toodles.